It's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one.
Welcome to Educators for Life, a winning world show with Shermanda. Coming to inspire, motivate, encourage, to shed light, and bring hope. We will share testimonies and share stories of people from around the world who have chosen to live triumphant lives on purpose, overcoming adversities. And now, a winning world show with Shermanda.
Gotta prove yourself and show them what you got. Number one.
Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The word of the day is desire. What is desire? A strong feeling or wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen, yearn for, crave for, hanker after, be desperate for, be bent on, covet, aspire to, and the list goes on and on. When I read the scripture, I had to stop and think, where do the desires we have come from? Most times it's from that we've seen as an attainable thing on this earth through our sight. Have you ever desired something and then when you got it, you thought, oh, wow, I thought it was going to be much better than this, or before long you put it down and abandon it? Or in some cases, you have now something that you've desired and you're stuck with it and you want to get rid of it. And then there are times we're graced and God removes those things from us. And we look back and say, what in the world was I thinking about? Thank you, God. I raise my hand on all accounts and say, I've been there. And truth be told, there are periodic checking points of asking forgiveness on any given day. But God, wow, when I think about the Lord giving and the desire of our hearts, realizing that our desires are those things wrapped up most of the time in external things rather than eternal ones that he gives, you know, it does cause you to cause a step back moment to say, I maybe need to kind of look at the desire again. The desire that lasts forever is that of our very own soul growth. And we don't take time often enough to realize that and nurture that place. Lord, help us. Let us desire and aspire to love ourselves eternally and embrace who we are created to be. And this will allow us to hear our God, our Creator. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will direct us in the desires that should manifest in our lives that bring kingdom glory versus self glory, if we but take the time to spend time in this place. So I ask you today, this morning, what are you desiring for that calls you to abandon our first love, our God? Great morning, beloveds, and welcome to another week of winning stories on A Winning World with Shermanda. Yes, that's me, and with love, hugs, and mwah, kisses, fellowship, agape, field, and just loving on you as always, I greet you. The good news is what I bring and give will transform the world's view of winning, and should. It's what I desire to bring. If you are alive and able to hear this broadcast, you were born to win and achieve great things on this earth. So we have with us here to encourage, lift, and inspire you our guest, Prentella Bankhead, who was born in Sulligent, Alabama. She is the founder and president of EBS Security Incorporated here in Jacksonville, and has over 29 years of experience in the security industry. Her lifetime achievements include author of Staying on Course in Business and in Life. She's an honor graduate of Florida State College, graduate of International Correspondence School, Kaplan College Program Advisory Board, Athena PowerLink 2018 graduate, she's been honored with the Better Business Bureau 2016 and 2017 Torch Award for Business Ethics. And the list of her accomplishments include many, 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 many more accolades. And she, too, will be featured in the A Winning World book being released between Christmas and by the new year. And one I'm honored to call friend and sister. Let us welcome Printella. Good morning, Printella.
Good morning, Sister Shamanda.
How are you?
Good morning to all the listeners. I am blessed and highly favored.
How is your day today?
It's an awesome day. It's a great day to be alive. Every day is beautiful.
It is.
Every day is a gift from God.
Amen. Well, it is a gift to have you in my life and to know your story.
Thank you.
You know, I have you here so the world can know your story as well and be afforded the opportunity to learn more about who you are and how you've become victorious through your trials and tribulations over your lifetime. So where did you grow up, Printella?
I grew up in a small town called Sullivan, Alabama. Very small. We lived way out in the woods in the country. We had a dirt road that we lived on. You could always see the cars coming from all the dust coming up on the road. And we didn't have a whole lot. And it was a trying time, very trying time during that period in my life, you know, coming from a broken family.
Well, you know, I know your growing up, you know, as many wasn't what we'd hoped for, you know, by what we look at seeing depicted in the media. Can you share some of, you know, your growing up experiences?
Yes. One of the things that we experienced was being split up as kids. Our parents divorced. I did not remember my parents. The only memory that I had was laying on a sofa and hearing my mom and dad fight. I couldn't really even remember how they looked. And they divorced, and my brother and I went to live with our grandparents, which was our father's parent. And I don't think they were very happy to be in a situation having two small children when they had already raised five. Hmm. And the experiences that we had was a lot of fighting, a lot of abuse, a lot of put downs, a lot of you will never amount to anything. You'll be like your mother and you won't make it very far in life. And no one will love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't hear encouraging things in our homes like we love you or pats on the back or good job or any of those things that would encourage us. But it was all a negative environment. That was our experience.
Mm. Did you find...
And looking back...
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask if you had found any... retreats in that time, and what were they?
And during that time, we grew up in the church. You know, it was during a time where a lot of people went to church on Sunday, they were saved. During the week, they did everything under the sun. So many of us have had that same experience. But I remember going to church, and I remember that being my small glimmer of hope. It was something that I received while being in church, you know, prior to becoming 12 or 13 years old, it was like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to wear this. I don't want to wear that. But when I got a little older, a message touched my heart. And I heard something in that sermon that said, there is hope.
Mm.
No matter how sad, how dark, how bad your situation looks, God loves you. And that was the first time that I felt something that touched me that said, there's hope.
Mm.
It gave me something to hold on to. And the people that God placed in my life, the women of that church, were like my mothers. See, when we don't have someone that we could see as a mother, as a father, God has a way of putting people in your life that will put something in you, that would pour into you, that would encourage you to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a blessing to have those ladies to encourage me to say, we love you. We're praying for you that God will deliver you out of this situation. And he did.
And how long were you in that situation? How old were you when you went to your grandparents?
When I went to my grandparents, I was a toddler. When I left my grandparents' home, I believe I was just turning 19 at the time.
Mm. Did you ever share any of what you were going through with any of the ladies that had, you know, that God had placed in your life to mother you during that time?
Yes, we did. As children, we shared in when it's hard for people to see what things were like 30, 40 years ago. Mm. And you and I both can attest, 30 and 40 years ago, we didn't have the laws and the rules and the Department of Children and Families active as it is today. Mm-hmm. And so back during that time when children were spanked, when you had, you know, got beatings with switches and belts and whatever they could find to hit you with, it wasn't viewed as abuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was. But back during that time, people thought, well, they're just being bad. They're being punished. This is, you know, what we do, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, that sort of thing. So even though we shared with other adults what was going on, a lot of people had a hard time accepting that when they see these loving people in church on Sunday and giving and, you know, fish fries and cooking for the pastor, and the pastor couldn't see it. Wow. So we don't always, sometimes we're so blinded by what people do, is we find it hard to accept that there's another side. Mm. And what we experienced in the home was another side that the public did not experience.
Wow.
And so that's hard to see unless you, you know, have a spirit of discernment to pick up on these things.
And like you said, it was something of the old. Everyone pretty much was caught up in the same thing, doing the same thing. And that was how we did it. That was the discipline. That's
how
we were
disciplined. Lived.
So, yeah, and a lot of that stuff just stemmed from past experiences in, you know,
exactly.
Even just in this land. So that's another story in and of itself for bringing.
A whole nother.
Yeah. It's just a mm-hmm. way of bringing that authority and control. And that's what they knew.
Yeah. And people, you know, people raise their children based on what they know.
Yes.
So having a limited knowledge of how it really should be done, they're going by the examples that they had.
Right.
So when I look back at it, there was no anger. There was no bitterness. There
that's
was
it.
No hatred because yes. I'm saying they did what they thought was right.
Yes. And that's
what they knew at that time.
Having the knowledge and wisdom with that is,
mm-hmm.
it brings us to a place of forgiveness and understanding
yes.
The forgiveness that God
yes.
has even for us. So, Prentella, I know at 19, things would change. So, you know, what began to happen in life to bring about the change, and what did that look like?
Well, I stayed in the church, and I moved here. And started my life here, and it was a big adjustment. You know, you're coming from a small country town. You're not knowledgeable of city life and that sort of thing. So there was a lot of challenges, you know, getting married, you know, in my early 20s and, you know, went through 5 years of a bad marriage. You know, we were both in the church, but the church wasn't always in you. You know what I'm
mm-hmm,
saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't work out. So there was a lot of anger and bitterness and disappointment in that. And so as I continued on my struggle, I kept praying, I kept believing, because what's instilled in you, the word says, thy word have I hid in my heart.
Yes.
And it was always in my heart. So anytime there was a hard time, there was a struggle, I always found my way to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me.
Yes.
Deliver me out of this situation. And one day, a light bulb moment took place.
Hmm. Now, can you share with us that?
It was a light bulb moment in my life that I was going through a lot of struggles, I just divorced and was having a hard time. And I kept saying, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. And sometimes what we're taught as children, the paradigms that we grow up with, is not always the right way. And I call it growing up in some form of bondage. Even though we called on God, we were in the church, we believed in him, there was not a lot of knowledge of some other things, some better things. People say, if you're rich, if you have money, you can't see God. I disagree.
Mm.
The Lord wants us to prosper as our soul prospered.
Yes.
He wants us to have these things. But we were always taught the opposite.
Yes.
So when we're taught the opposite, we have blockages that are blocking us from receiving all that's there for us to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had those old feelings and those old beliefs. So I had to do a complete shift in my life. I had to go back over what I was taught to believe and realize that everything that I was taught was not the right way. It was not what God wanted for me. It was not the purpose for me to achieve my dreams and visions. Mm. And so when I realized that, it was like the light bulb moment. Wait a minute. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to reach other people. He wants me to share my experiences, to bless someone else. Yes, he does.
Mm. That's that.
Not to be embarrassed.
Yeah, that's that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven, that you were taken gone.
Yes.
And what
that miracle.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, you're going into, I wanted you to go farther into the story.
Yes. And when that light bulb moment took place, I asked God to lead me, to put me in the path of others that wanted to strive to have better, to have a better life, people that were going somewhere, believers in faith and trusting in him. And he did that. I began to meet people that were like-minded. I began to meet people that had come from also other walks of life. And I began to see that a lot of successful people had some similar experiences to myself,
mm-hmm.
that were awesome men and women of God, awesome business leaders and authors, and I began to meet the people, and I thought, wow, I'm not alone in this. You know, my story is not so different than many other folks' stories, and I can share with other people. And when the door opened for me to have my own business, there was a lot of fear there. There was a lot of doubt.
Mm.
And I went and I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, if this is you, give me some confirmation. And the confirmation started to come. And I said, this has to be for me. The pastor said, if you would start your own company, we'll be your first customer.
Wow.
And I had to overcome that fear, though, that it did instill, that you're a girl and girls can't do this. And this is a man's world. This is a man's business.
Mm.
So the enemy was talking to me and discouraging me. But it was what God had put in me that said, go forth. I'll never leave you alone. I'll never leave your side. I am here for you. So I stepped out on faith. And here we are 16 years later.
Amen.
Still striving, still praising God, still being humble, still being grateful, and still seeing the miracles of God.
Amen. So that, how do you say, you turn the beauty for ashes? He give you beauty for ashes.
Yes.
So though you went through all that you went through as a child, you know, he still had a purpose and plan that you were able to eventually see through, to see, you know, your winning. And, you know, share with us some of your winning stories. What does that look like?
Well, one of my winning stories looks like, I come from a family that it was about appearances. My grandmother was very big on, we're a different class, and those people there are of a lower class, and no, don't do this because people will talk. It'll be an embarrassment. One of my winning moments is being at the point in my life that I was not embarrassed to share the things that we experienced. I was not embarrassed to share that we lived in a shack that had a tin roof that rained inside, and we had a wood-burning stove, and you would be warm on one side and cold on the other. We didn't have a bathroom.
Mm.
We didn't have running water. And I was not ashamed to share that, because I know in sharing my story that somebody can look and say, if she did it,
amen, amen.
If she made it to where she is, and I had a similar experience, I can do it. That was one of my moments, not being ashamed to say, yes, I was in this struggle. and I can share with someone else what God did for me.
Amen.
And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Because we would see the chickens and the dogs through our floor.
Mm.
We could hear the rain. We could hear the squirrels running across the tin roof.
Wow.
And it was not a house designed by folks that built homes. It was built by the people that were living there. They basically built their own house. So there was no code violations in that time. If it would stand up, they build it and just live it, you know. And,
right.
And so, you know, to be able to share that experience of, you know, going to get our own water and getting the jugs and walking in the snow to catch the school bus and not having the things that many of the other children had. You know, looking at the TV with the three channels and having the foil on it.
Yes, the antenna.
Hanger, you know, making your own antenna, trying to get a station clear enough to catch the news. So to be able to look back at where I come from is a humbling experience.
Yes.
And my grandmother, you know, I took the positive things that they said. My grandfather said, you only go through this life once. You only have one chance to get it right. And my grandmother said, you know, always be grateful and say thank you. So I didn't take all the negative, but I reached and I grabbed hold of the things that hit home.
Yes.
And I carried that with me, and I put away the rest that was not serving me.
Mm.
That's what we have to do. We have to let go of the negative. That's not serving you, and grab hold of the positive things.
That's good.
So those are the things that I took with me farther on in life. So when I received better, when I lived better and did better, and now I get up and I can say thank you that I have a bathroom to use.
Yes.
Thank you, God, that I have hot water. Things that we take for granted was the things we didn't have. So for me to hit a switch and have heat is a blessing for me.
Amen.
To go to the kitchen sink and run water is a blessing for me. So people ask me, if you had it to do all over again, would you do it differently? And you know what my answer is? And it amazed people. I would not.
Mm.
Because those experiences made me
Amen.
Who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me a witness that just because you grew up in that environment does not define you as a person. It does not say that you will be a loser, an alcoholic, a criminal. It does not defy what God has for me.
Mm.
It's a personal choice to go down the right path or the wrong path. I don't care what statistics say. God said otherwise.
Amen. Amen.
And I am grateful.
And that's what, 16 years later in your business, and you have how many employees?
We're pretty close to 100 employees right now.
So I would say you're doing an amazing job. God has done an amazing thing.
And to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. And I thank you so much, because I know there's so much more to share. And guys, she will be a part of the Winning World Anthology. So look here. It is coming. The stories are there. She is here, as well as so many others, to just lift and encourage you. Jeremiah 29:11-13 states, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. This world has a way of showing us the roses through what we see as the dream to live for and achieve, but it oftentimes leaves out what one may have to go through to get there. The truth is, roses grow with thorns attached. Ouch. Yes, those thorns help me hold close and take to heart this verse. As life can be very hard at times, if we never give up and keep the press in faith, believing the word of God is true, though we may get stuck by thorns in life at times, we learn to maneuver, you know, with the word. The word teaches you and guides you. So we learn to maneuver past them, and in maturity, the roses in life we seek, okay, the roses are those things that appear, and the expected end of something beautiful is produced. Prince's story holds true as many of our stories. Though we may be led to think one way about ourselves or have others that have their own opinions of us, the most important thought about us that matters is the Lord's thoughts towards us. Grabbing a hold and embracing all that he has is the ultimate success we can achieve, no matter what we decide to do or what we have gone through. The beauty is his thoughts are of peace and of a good, prosperous future for us, not just money, but in mindset and thinking for all that he has given and all that he continues to give to us. When I think about the goodness and all he's done for me, I can dance, sing, shout, and rejoice all the day long and all night long. Yes. But I must close this conversation with you with love, hugs, and mwah. Yes, those beautiful kisses that we give to our brothers and sisters as we greet them and meet them each day, as we should, as the word says. Thank you for joining me, Prentella, my guest.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Thank everyone for listening.
Thank the listening audience. Love, peace, and joy is the promise to take and share. Until next week.
Thanks for joining A Winning World with Shermanda. Do you have a story or testimony and would like to be considered for an interview on the show? Connect on Facebook at A Winning World or Educators for Life, or visit Shermanda.com. Telephone 904-533-5222 or email connect@educators4life.com. Tune in next week for more winning stories on A Winning World with Shermanda.
Number one.